Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, good morning. Wow, you guys look so great today. Wasn't that a great set of worship songs? Man, let's give our team a hand. It's so good. Man, I love you guys just to watch the worship in the house and see those of you that are participating with our fasting. It's just so, so very amazing. It's just a couple of things before we get into the teaching, and I hope you got your Bible today, because today I'm just going to unload a lot of information from Ephesians chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible there, or you've also have the little code that we have those notes online, you can grab those, because I hope you brought something to write with, because I'm going to just dump a lot on you today, because I think it's important for us to know where we are and the time we're living. And next week, listen, next week, if you, whatever you can do, please be here. One of my heroes in the faith will be with us next week. He helped us start this church 30 years ago over in the O'Shoney's Hotel. And that's Rick Godman from San Antonio, Texas. Pastors a mega church in San Antonio. Rick's 6 years older than I am, and he's going like crazy, and nothing's stopping him where he is. He travels the world, and he's going to be here with us next Sunday. And I would love for you to be sure that you bring somebody with you and be here, whatever you can do, to honor him. I believe in honor. I believe we honor up. I believe we honor down. I believe we honor all around. And this will be the last chance that I, as the lead pastor, will have to honor him. And so I really am asking you to do everything you can to be here, because I promise you, he's going to be talking next week about fighting. And you'll want to be here, because one thing about Rick is that he can comfort the afflicted and he can afflict the comforted. So you might as well get ready. And we're honored today to introduce to you a new staff member. We've been praying for someone that could handle this particular job. This person will be our new connections administrator, and I'd like to welcome her to the stage so that you could meet her. Would you come up, Tanya? Grab a mic as you come up, all right? She thought she was leaving, but we prayed her back in. So tell me what connections administrator is.
Basically you're going to get to pay me to do what I love to do, which is connect people to the church. And that's in all kinds of ways. I get to use my gifts and talents to talk to people and get them plugged in through life groups, which I've been through doing, but serving teams, foundations, which is the new thing that we're starting next month, and just other ways, events and things like that.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you got smart and came home, okay? You left for a while, but you came home. Let's give the Lord a hand for bringing Tanya home. Thank you. Yeah, we love that. We love that girl, don't we? Wow. Father, we love you today. Thank you so much for your presence, Lord. There's just no way anybody could doubt that you're not here. You're here in such a powerful way today, and even those that are watching online. And I ask you, Lord, as we come to this passage today, that it'd be a little different teaching style, that you would just help me to say what you want me to say. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. Give me fresh inspiration, even as we look at this, because we are definitely in a war zone now, and we need to know how to handle that. And God, I just pray at the end of this day that you will be glorified, that your church will be edified, and the enemy will be terrified in the name of Jesus. Have you ever been in a public area where an emergency alert goes off and everybody's phone goes off at the same time? Maybe it's a hurricane, a tornado, or maybe it's a child that was abducted, and that alarm hits, and at first there's no real warning or no explanation. It's just an emergency alert. Well, if you were here last week, you heard an emergency alert. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap, all right? I mean, Andrea woke us up with the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Anita and I coming back, we were coming back from a little trip that we were on. And I said, I feel like pulling over to the side of the road and just walking right now. When she asked if you want to walk and make a move towards the altar. But it's not enough just to be awake, you know. We can be awake, and a lot of people wake up in the morning and they lay there in bed. But we don't want to just be awake. But in this series, we also want to armor up. Say armor up. Now, I know most of you would not leave the house every morning naked. I say most because I don't know about some of you, you know. And you wouldn't go into a snowstorm wearing a bathing suit. And you wouldn't step onto a battlefield wearing pajamas. But over and over, Christians wake up every day and they grab, first of all, their phone. Grab a cup of coffee, start scrolling through the internet, hurry off to work, and by 10 o'clock that morning, they wonder why they feel so weak, defeated, and overwhelmed. The reason simply is that we're fighting in a spiritual warfare. And if we try to fight that naked without the full armor of God, there's just no way that we can make it. You know what? How many of you know without a shadow of a doubt that we are in a spiritual warfare? Would you know that? We're in a spiritual warfare. The warfare that we're fighting every day, and you see it on TV constantly, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and the enemy, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And some of you have been through some real spiritual battles this week, let's be honest. There's been medical battles that you've had to fight. There's been financial battles that you've had to fight. There's been anxiety battles that you've had to fight. Some of you have been in conflict in your marriage, in your job, in your home. You watch television, whether that's CNN, whether that's Fox, or whether that's Alpha or Beta, whatever it is. We realize that we are in a warfare. And listen, the enemy that you don't recognize becomes the enemy that you don't resist. Let me say that again. The enemy that you don't recognize becomes the enemy that you don't resist. We're not just playing church. You didn't just get saved and the enemy says, well, I lost another one. No. Once you become a believer, you become on the hit list of the enemy. He knows he can't take out the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he can take you out, if he can destroy your marriage, if he can destroy your kids, it's another swipe at the Lord. But I think it's time for us to say, I'm awake, I'm fully armored up, and that will not happen on my watch. Amen? I was reading this week, and it's so scary. A recent Barna study, and he does a lot of studies about Christian activities, and of 60% of self-identified Christians said they believe that Satan isn't real, he's just a symbol of evil. Wow. That's like a soldier going to battle and saying the enemy is just a metaphor. But evidently, if they believe that Jesus lies. Because Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's not symbolic. He is a real enemy. He has real helpers, principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness, and they're highly organized, and you are their target. Now, when you came in today, did you receive that coin? Let's pull that out. I thanks to Al, my trainer, who's my assistant today, and this week at the gym, he said, I felt impressed with the Lord to buy one of these coins for everybody, so you can thank him later. But as we're talking about this today, and I'd like for you to maybe look at that coin and hold on to that and put it somewhere where you're reminded of this. And we're going to be looking from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. You got your Bible? How many of you have a real Bible? All right, how many of you have a Bible on your phone or your device or whatever? How many of you are so smart you got the Bible in your head, you know every verse, you know every scripture? But today I want you to look at the scriptures while I'm talking about those, and I want you to take notes. Now, some of you, I'll go so fast today that you won't be able to take notes, and you'll have to go back and re-listen to this, but I promise you, it will be worth it. It's been worth me, myself, in the last months that I've been studying this. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Are you there? Let's read that first verse together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, Paul is writing, and he's been writing to these Christians, and they have a lot of head knowledge. They know all of these different things, but they're not living a life according to their head knowledge. And so he's gone through the whole thing of who you are in Christ, where you are in Christ, the power of the church, the power of marriage, the power of family. And then he comes to this last chapter, and he says, finally, say finally. That's a Greek word that means in summation, or the rest of the matter is, or the most important matter at hand. In other words, he was saying it like this: if you don't remember anything else that I've written you in the letter, what I'm getting ready to tell you right now is the most critical thing that you will ever remember in your life. And he says, finally, and he's talking to the church. He says, my brethren. The word there is aldophos, which is a military term that is brothers in the battle. So he's not just simply saying, I'm talking to spectators. I'm talking to those that come in late, leave early, never worship, never read their Bible, never fast, never pray. He said, I'm talking to those that realize that we are in a battle and we're standing shoulder to shoulder in this battle. And then he says this word. What is it? Two phrases there. Be strong. Say that. It's in the imperative, which means that's not a suggestion. That's a command. So if you hear anybody say, I just feel so weak. Well, that's not what he says. Let the weak say, I'm what? Strong. Let the weak say, I'm what? Strong. So you got to begin seeing yourself as he says, be strong. Be strong. That word strong comes from two Greek words. The first one is the Greek word en. That means like you're placing something in, like you place water into a vessel. We have a machine at our house, an alkaline water machine, and every day I try to drink my quantity of water that I need. So I take my glass jug over there, and I'll turn it on to high alkalinity, and I'll push that button, and the water begins coming into that. That's this same word, in. It's a vessel that has something that's poured into it. Say, poured in. The second word is the word dunamis. You know that word. You've heard that. Dunamis means power. It means a force of nature. It means amazing strength. It's the very same word that Jesus talked about when he described what or whom? Holy Spirit, right? Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How many of you, by raising a hand, saying, the Holy Spirit has come upon me at salvation, he came into my life, and he filled me with his Spirit. So he's simply saying this. Strong is a compound Greek word, two words. And the word is endonomal. And it's saying that God has created a vessel in which that he wants to pour this dunamis power. God wants you to be a container. He wants me to be a container of the dunamis power, the power of God. So every day when I wake up, I realize all I am is a vessel. All I am is a container, and I'm looking to him to pour in more of the awareness of the Holy Spirit in my life. God designed you to receive this power. The ancient writers would use the word dunamis to talk about people that were superhuman. They had the ability to do things that nobody else could do. Well, listen, isn't that what the gifts of the Spirit bring into our life? It gives you the ability with a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a prophecy, doing something that's beyond yourself. So he says, listen, my brethren, we're in a battle. So in this battle, you need to be what? Strong. Be strong. Say, be strong. So he says, here's how you're going to do it. Put on the whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I wanted so much to show my favorite cartoon today. But I thought you would get distracted and I couldn't go there. But I wanted to show you the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. I know some of you have never seen that. You're too young. Go back into YouTube, pull it up, look at it. Wile E. Coyote's always scheming. He's always wily, trying to catch the Roadrunner, and everything backfires on him. And that's exactly the enemy. He tries to tell you he's got you, but I'm going to tell you it's going to backfire on him when you begin seeing, I am strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul says, put on. Now, I in times past, before I studied this out more deeply in Greek, would in my prayer time say, okay, I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I'm putting on the shoes of peace. I'm putting on the loin belt of truth. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. I'm putting on all of those things. And I began to kind of walk through that. There's nothing really wrong with that, but that's not what it means here. It's not something that you put on. You can't put on these things. But what he's simply saying here is, as you look at in the Greek, he says, it's God's power that dresses you with these weapons. So once he pours the Holy Spirit into your life, catching this? Once he pours the Holy Spirit into your life, then immediately you have the helmet of salvation, you have the breastplate of righteousness, you have the shield of faith, you have the sword of the Spirit. As long as you continue to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh, all of those weapons are naturally upon you, but we have to realize they're there for us, and we have to utilize them in our life. He says, so put on. He's just simply saying, that's not something you got to do, but you're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit dresses you. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, because the devil is wily. That word there means that he has stratagems and he has a strategy for you. Now, I'm not really sure that I believe in generational curses. I used to really believe in that strongly. But I really do believe that the enemy has been studying you and your generation for generations. And he knows exactly where to attack. He knows in your marriage. He knows where to attack you. He knows where to attack your husband or your wife so that he can get you at conflict with each other. And what happens is, then people begin not recognizing behind what's going on is a spirit from old Wile E. Coyote, the enemy himself. And he's trying to put us against each other to destroy this marriage. Or it's the same way in this world with race. I am not a white man. I am a man that is a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, when the adjective of my life becomes that I am white, then I immediately separate myself from you. You see, we live in a world today, if the enemy can pit us against one another, well, I am Hispanic, well, I am black, I am white, I am Asian, I am green, I am whatever you are. If he can get you, that becomes your adjective. Instead, I am a believer in Jesus Christ who now has taken down all walls of division in my life. He will keep us in conflict. He will keep us at war. He will get you to the place that you wonder, why in the world he does that? Listen, whether you know it or not, God does not ride on the back of an elephant or a donkey. God does not ride on the back of an elephant or donkey. God didn't come to choose sides. He came to take over. And when you allow your political position to put you against the political position of someone else, and you're constantly conflict and constantly fighting. I can't believe they believe that. I can't believe he said that the way that he said that. What's happening is we're not recognizing that behind that spirit. You see, if a person is walking in darkness or can be confused, they can't see light. They say things and do things that upset you, and then you get upset as a believer, and you're constantly, well, I'll never watch CNN because they don't ever tell the truth, and I'm not watching Fox because they're a bunch of biased people. I'm going to tell you, in this world, I am not choosing sides. I am on the side of a King of Kings that's going to take over. And until we realize that we cannot be so politically divisive that we're at war with each other, we are distracted from building the kingdom of God. How can you love somebody that you constantly are criticizing and pulling down? I know some of you don't like that because you want me to hit a strong political thing. I am not political. I'll vote. I'll do everything I can. I vote policy according to the scripture, but I'm not going to tell you how to vote. And I'm going to tell you, as long as you keep in conflict, you're not realizing that it's a scheme of the enemy. Why in the world do we have a nation that's as good as our nation, that's so full of love, and people can't get along on each aisle because they're divisive in that? It's no longer for the good of the nation. It's for my political position, my party, what I'm going to stand for and how I'm going to do it. But church, we can't get sucked into that. We've got to remain strong and realize we are building the kingdom of God, and I'm not going to fight you because you don't believe in what I believe in. I'm not going to fight you because your color's not the same as mine. I'm not going to fight you in that way. I'm going to recognize, not on my watch, Satan, you're not going to destroy my life and you're destroying my city and my friends because of the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy's not somebody of the opposite. You know, the early church, when these people, of course, when they became converts to Christianity, they would have started studying the Old Testament. And I hope you are doing our study with us in the Old Testament. And as you study, because you see, the Old Testament is so important because the Old Testament points to the New Testament. So when Paul began saying, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, therefore take up on the whole armor of God. Immediately, a Christian at that particular time would have been reminded of a passage in the Old Testament that says, talks about God, talks about actually the pre-incarnate Jesus, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad. Because why? Because he couldn't find anybody that would stand for the truth. And so immediately they would say, oh, Paul is saying, not just because I see a Roman soldier, but I go all the way back to the Old Testament and I realize that God put on those same weapons to war against his own people because they were going away from him. But now Paul brings all that back, and Paul is sitting there in jail, and you know, he watches those Roman soldiers put on their seven pieces of weapon every day. He watches them. So he says, therefore, put on how much of the armor? Yeah, panoplia is the word. It pictures a soldier fully dressed in his armor from head to toe, that you may be able to do what?
Stand.
Withstand in that evil day. And having done all, to do what?
Stand.
And then he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Stand. The word stand there means stand up straight. Throw your shoulders back. Put your head back. Act like you're proud. Don't hump your shoulders over and say, I'm weak, defeated. I'm nothing. I'm not sure I'll get through with this. No, it's a picture of somebody that's confident. I am confident in who I am. He has infused me with the power of his Holy Spirit. And because of that, I know that I have the full armor of God and I'm able to stand. Not being pushed around. Some of you being pushed around too much. This Sunday you're up, next Sunday you're back. Tomorrow you're up, next you're back. No, you got to learn to put your feet in solid and stand. Why? Because his power is standing within you. Amen, amen, amen. So he says, here's what I want you to do. Seven pieces. I won't have time to go through all these really good, but he said, I want you to put on the loin belt of truth. The loin belt of truth. So that's the first one. That's the most important weapon of spiritual weaponry. You know, some of you, you know, you're wearing a belt. You got your shirt out over your belt, and people may not know that you got a belt on, but, you know, if you didn't have your belt on, your pants may fall down, and we'd know that you didn't have a belt on, right? This belt, this loin piece, was the most important piece that they had because, first of all, it wasn't beautiful. It was some long pieces, and you'll see a picture in a minute. It protected the area, the loin area of your life, because the enemy would like to do nothing more in conflict than kick you real hard in the loins so that you'd never be able to reproduce. Second of all, that loin girdle, that belt, held all the other pieces. On one side, you'd have a sword. On the other side, you had a clip, because the sword, the shield of faith, would weigh 70 pounds. And that would be very tiring. And sometimes you had a clip you'd put on there, and it would help hold up that shield. And then on the back, you had another pouch where you would carry a lance that could be put together, and it would be anywhere from 6 foot long to sometimes 20 foot long. So this belt would hold everything together. And when the soldier began to battle, his long flowing tunic, he'd pick it up, he'd tighten it in that belt so that he could stand. So when it talks about the belt of truth, it's saying that every day I need to align my mind to God's truth, to the reality of what's in here. Not what I feel, not what I hear, but the reality of God's truth. The reality is, as Dr. Craig this morning said in our morning devotion, I hope you watch those from our fast, he said, we're going to experience revival, and we are in revival. So every morning, if you get up and you say, you know, I just don't feel loved. I just don't feel loved. No, you just tighten up your belt and you say, you know what? I'm not giving into my emotions. I know one thing. I know the truth is I am loved by God. He loved me so much that he sent his only son to demonstrate his love for me. And I gird up my life with that. I hold everything together. Second of all, he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate would guard your heart, your vital organs. It was a defensive weapon, but it was also an offensive weapon, because when you were in battle, it was so shiny and the sun would hit it, and it would actually put a glare off on the enemy, and it would confuse them because they couldn't see real well. The enemy loves to aim for your heart. He's shooting for your heart with accusations and guilt. He whispers, Remember, you're such a hypocrite. Remember what you did yesterday? Remember what you said? You say, oh, I'm not going to give into that. I'm not going to give into that. And we start fighting within ourselves. But, you know, if you thought about righteousness of God being the height of the ceiling, that's a big jump. I really don't know anybody in this building that can make that jump. And you see, if I'm trying to fight the enemy in my righteousness, it's like I'm trying to jump up and touch something that's not mine. You see, it's not, I'm not fighting in my righteousness. I'm fighting in his righteousness. The breastplate of Christ is the legal standing I have in Christ. In Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, I am in Christ. I am righteous because of Christ. Everything I can do to try to do better is just filthy rags. No, but his righteousness. The shoes of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Their sandals were leather, and they were wrapped around and came up, and they also had another part that was metal up at the top. And on the bottom of their sandals was 1 to 2 inch spikes. And those shoes and those sandals became weapons of war. You would swing that, and it was almost like one of those MMA fighters or whatever it is, free-for-all, whatever you do. And you would use the nails on the bottom to destroy an enemy. But it would also use that they would dig in 1 to 2 inches firmly, so when the enemy would try to put them back, they were able to stand. They were able to withstand. They were able to stand. So you see, it's not that I'm going through life worried about everything, but I'm walking in the peace of God and knowing that His peace is in my heart, and I can put my feet down and I can stand strong, and He can try to push me as much wants to push me, but I'm going to stand. Why? Because I'm not standing in my own strength. I'm standing in the strength of the Lord. I love Romans 16 and 20. It says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Say, crush Satan. Crush Satan under your feet shortly. Roman soldiers, when they marched in formation. Look at this picture. They marched in formation. Now, what they would do is they would march in quick, sharp steps like this. Not long steps, but quick. And it would resonate. The sound would resonate. And they were told by their commanders, you are a Roman soldier. If anybody is so stupid to get in your way, you don't say, excuse me, would you please move? You walk right over them. You put your hobnob nails on top of their body and you destroyed them. You didn't break formation. You kept walking. And Paul is saying, listen to me, if the devil is so stupid that he tries to get in your way, you just keep marching in the truth and the peace that God gives you, and he will crush him under your feet shortly. Wow. A shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, there doesn't mean up here, but it means in front of. It describes the position of faith that's out in the front. And he said, the faith out in front of you is faith. It's a shield of faith. And you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you joined the Roman military, you were custom measured for your shield. It was fit to you. Some of them would be as tall as, of course, a door that you would use. And of course, they would lock, you saw it there a minute ago, they would lock those shields in place and they would begin to move forward. And so sometimes people say, well, you know, I wish I had as much faith as Pastor Tim, or I wish I had as much faith as somebody else. But let me remind you of a scripture in Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Say, measure of faith. Measure of faith. Say, I have faith. I am a person of faith. I have a shield of faith. Now, the enemy would love to, he would love to. You ever felt a thought come into your mind that it just really almost burned your mind? Just a suggestion. The enemy comes and he says, well, they did that report, but what if it's cancer? What if your spouse is cheating on you? What if you're going to be bankrupt? You say, so what do? I just lift up my shield of faith. I just lift up my shield of faith and say, Lord, I lift up my faith. I trust you more than what I'm hearing. I trust you. And then we put on the helmet of salvation and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet was metal, and it would come down the sides. It would actually come part of the back, because your enemy would also have an axe sometime, try to take your head off, you know. But on top of the helmet, the Roman soldiers wore this beautiful plume that was red. It was the most beautiful part of the weaponry. And isn't that what our salvation is? Isn't our salvation? I mean, when you see somebody who's a believer, can't you just see the beauty in them? Haven't you just walked into a room before or been around somewhere and you just said, that person's a believer? There's just something about the beauty of salvation. You're able to recognize that. So he says, the helmet of salvation protects my mind, because that's the battlefield. That's where the enemy tries to attack. Every one of these weapons always comes back to how that I stop the enemy from infiltrating my mind. And he begins to build up a stronghold. And then the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. Now, this sword, one of the swords that they would use, of course, is a longer sword when you're fighting, like you've seen those battles. But most times it was a sword that was like 18 inches long, because it was for close fighting. It was to get close right up with someone. You see, the sword of the Spirit is not just something I keep on me, but it's an offensive weapon. And the word there, which says word of God, is not logos, which is the written word of God, but it's rhema. It's a spoken word of God specifically about whatever you're going through. Remember Jesus in the wilderness? He simply said to the enemy when he was trying to attack him, "It is written. It is written." That's why we give you these Bible studies that we do every day. That's why we're going through the Old Testament, leading up to the New Testament. That's why last year we went through the whole Old New Testament. So if you're not following us along on those plans, go to our website, join us, get involved, because you've got to know the word. If the word says, if the enemy comes with a lie, you've got to know a specific scripture to quote back to him and say, "No, that's not going to happen." And then the seventh weapon, which I call, is prayer. I know specifically he doesn't say it, but Paul, in that Roman cell where he's with the Roman soldier, he looks over against the wall, and against the wall is a long lance that's part of, it's a spear, part of the weaponry of the Roman soldier. And as Paul is concluding that, he looks over there and he sees that pilum, and it's used from throwing at the enemy from a distance. And they're different lengths and different sizes. And then he says in verse 18, praying always. Boy, that's a powerful phrase. In the Greek, it's in pante kairo, which means at each and every occasion, at every opportunity, pray, pray. And then he says, with all prayer. In other words, all kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of praise. There's a prayer of worship. There's a prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of intercession. There's a prayer joining with our fasting, your fasting. Scripture says this kind comes but by prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you, on that last night of this month, when we have our night of worship, we're going to lay hands on people to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. We're going to take time for times for words of knowledge and words of prophecy to come forth. We're going to spend time joining our fasting with prayer, because the weapon of prayer is the energy that activates your armor. The weapon of prayer is the energy that activates your armor. Listen, you can be wearing the best suit of the world, but if you don't have any communication with your commander, you're going to lose the battle. But when we pray, we're talking to our commander, and he said, "Pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And every day I pray that. Lord, first thing I pray is your kingdom come today. Your kingdom come in the world, around the world today. And I say your kingdom come today, and our president, our elected officials, whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, whatever they are. I mean, we're getting to be a crazy world right now, right? Because I'm telling you, we're going to pray that the God's kingdom is stronger than that. And I say, your kingdom come in my life as it is in heaven, your purpose in Anita and in my kids and my grandkids. And then I pray for our staff, and I pray for you, and I pray for friends. Why? Because I want to be sure that I don't just look the part, but I want to bring down the power of God on my life, that I can walk and not be unprotected. Would you bow your heads with me? Some of you have been in a real battle this week. The enemy's hit your mind. Thoughts that you didn't invite. Fears that showed up unannounced. Hopelessness. Whispering lies late at night. Some of you, the enemy's been hitting you in your heart. Shame, guilt. Old failures that keep dragging you back. Some of you have been hitting your peace. You're just here barely standing today. In fact, you feel like, if I get pushed just a little bit more, I know I'm going to fall. But today's the time for us to simply say, "Father, I'm going to receive your strength. I'm going to receive your power. I'm going to put on the belt of truth. I'm going to reject every lie that I've believed. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to lay down shame and self-effort. I'm going to refuse to retreat. I'm going to lift the shield of faith. I'm going to quench every fiery dart that the enemy would launch at me. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation." So today, if you're here and your heart is tired, if you're a weary warrior, I want you to leave today covered, equipped in the strength and the power of the Lord. When you walk out of these doors, I want you to be dressed for battle. I want truth to stabilize you, righteousness to protect you, peace to anchor you, faith to cover you, salvation to secure you, and the Word of God to empower you. Say this with me. I'm not just awake. I am armed. As you continue to pray just for where you are right now in the Lord, I want to talk to some of you that may be here today, and you know you're in a battle. And you've been trying to fight a battle in your own strength. But you keep saying, why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do and keep going back to those? Maybe it's addiction, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's something else. And you've been pretending and playing that everything is right, but you know it's not right in your heart. You know you're not walking. You're not walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh. And you're trying to overcome. I won't do that again. I won't go there again. I won't say that again. I won't drink that again. I won't shoot that again. But you've been trying your own righteousness. And the Lord is saying today, today's the day to let me come into that area of your life and surrender it. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived a sinless life. He took your sins and my sins and he died on the cross, but on the third day he rose so that as many as call upon him could be saved. You're not an accident that you're here today. He wants you to know that he's been waiting for you to come home. He's been waiting for you to realize that you're in a battle and the schemes of the enemy has pulled you away from him. And he's knocking on your heart's door. And he's saying, I won't barge in, but I sure would like to come in today and bring you peace. I would like to stop the torment in your mind and in your soul, the guilt, the shame. If you're here today and you say, Terry, that's me. I need to invite Jesus into my heart and my life, or maybe I need to rededicate my life to him. While this church is praying, would you raise your hand and make eye contact with me and say, yeah, that's me. I need that prayer today. Thank you. Thank you. Others today, just hold your hand up high. Say, yeah, thank you. A friend of mine is going to bring a gift to you, and it's going to be some resources that Anita and I have written to help you here on the right, here on the left, right here to your left. Let's make sure. Amen. Just keep your hand up high until somebody gives you this, okay? But you just keep your hand up. Others, those of you who are watching online, just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep your hand up till you receive this gift that I want to give you. Now, church, would you pray this prayer with me? Father God, I thank you today for sending your son Jesus into this world to die for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your spirit. As best as I know how, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. And I'm going to walk in the full armor of God. Full armor of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you receive that prayer today, would you give the Lord a hand clap? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, would you stand with me? I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to say, and our prayer team is coming down front. If you need specific prayer today, would you hold your hands up to the Lord? I want to be sure I see you next Sunday, but I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray right now as we hold our hands up to you. Lord, pour into us. Pour into us. We're a vessel. We're a container. Pour into us the dunamis power of you that we're able to stand this week, that we're not going to be pushed around, but we're going to stand strong. We're going to say, not on my watch are you going to destroy my marriage. Not on my watch are you going to destroy my kids. Not on my watch are you going to destroy my health. I'm going to stand strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.